Abraham was talking about the kicking game, and if I could build off that, piggyback off that, if you happen to read in the Cheesehead TV preview, my offense, defense, special teams post, for special teams, I said for one of the keys to the game was for Mason Crosby to outperform Nick Folk. And yes, while Crosby did have the missed field goal today, you have to think that Crosby still outperformed him, hitting 3 out of 4 field goals, and yes, doing very well on kickoffs. Crosby being aided a bit by the wind, I would say, on the kickoffs especially. And I think a lot of people, me included, were critical of him when he missed that field goal early in the game in the first half. Yeah, I've pointed out how Crosby just can't seem to get above 80% field goals in a season ever. But, you know, he hit 3 out of 4 today, and he at least did better than his counterpart for the New York Jets, Nick Folk. And, you know, aside from really that one missed field goal, overall, special teams pretty solid today behind the kicking of Tim Maste. Mostly. The Packers did give up one long return there, but the performance of Tim Maste certainly outweighs it, I would say so. Taking a look at some of the comments on the live blog, thanks everyone for joining us. Eau Claire Packer fan says, Clay Matthews coming up huge again when it matters. Is that guy clutch or what? Clay Matthews coming up with the sack of Mark Sanchez right at the end of the game, the Jets' last possession of the game, and that's becoming almost routine for the Packers, for Clay Matthews to come up big at the end. And at the beginning, too, boy, it was like the first possession of the game. Maybe the second, I don't know, it was right away in the first quarter. Clay Matthews just runs by the Jets' right tackle on a run play and makes the tackle for the loss. That, you know, was kind of like he had the big play at the beginning of the game and the big play at the end of the game. And there wasn't, you know, the clutch plays weren't as big in between, but, you know, a solid performance all the way around. Of course, the Packers, you know, basically stopping the run game of the New York Jets, which was their strength as an offense coming in, the Jets at least. So, the Jets' rushing statistics today, 29 carries for 119 yards, 4.1 yards a carry. Now, if I'm correct, I think the Jets come into the game averaging nearly, what did I hear them average, nearly 200 yards a game on the ground coming into the game? Whatever it is, the Packers carrying, holding them to below their season average. And, you know, especially go ahead and take that fake punt out of the equation there. I mean, that shouldn't be counted. I mean, that's not on the Packers' defense. That's on the special teams. And heck, you even got to credit the special teams for holding them a yard short, pushing them out of bounds there. I think that was Anthony Smith, if I'm correct. So fantastic job there. Just trying to go through some of the comments here on the live blog, getting questions, comments, things like that. Joe Packers, NYC. Wants to talk about the free agent pickups. you know, of the ones this week, I would say Howard Green is the stud of the week, playing probably the most snaps out of anybody. And you would have to say that, you know, he's going to have a role on this team going forward. I would like to think so. You know, you'd think, based upon what we've seen out of these people, that he's definitely going to be ahead of Michael Montgomery, you know, among defensive linemen. I realize they're kind of in a different category. But, you know, Michael Montgomery ahead of even a Jarius Winn, even though they're kind of, you know, one, Green is more of a run stuffer and Winn is more of a pass rusher. But still, you know, I mean, when you're looking at keeping people active on game days and you're looking at the defensive line, you got to think that Green is certainly ahead of Winn in that regard and can play a role on this team going forward. Other than that, I'm not sure the free agent pickups played a large role in the game. Eric Walden and Matt Wilhelm mostly playing on special teams. I didn't see them do anything fantastic on special teams. Eric Walden, especially early, getting in the act on defense, it kind of seemed like his snaps were being limited. As time went on, though, seems like he was playing less and less. And Zombo was playing more and more. I don't know. I got to go back and look at the film to see if that's true or not. But certainly, though, Eric Walden had a couple tackles on the day. He did make that one where he was unblocked and went right down the line of scrimmage to tackle, I think it was LaDainian Tomlinson, for just a, you know, it might have been a gain of 1 yard. So Eric Walden contributing to the team, but not, you know, creating the win by any means. I think, you know, when you're looking at why the Packers won, it's the turnover margin. And you got to thank mostly the secondary for that. You're looking at Charles Woodson, who probably shouldn't have had an interception, but did anyway. You're looking at Tremont Williams, who had, and it looks like he very much had that interception and recovered the other fumble. And you've got Frank Zombo forcing the third turnover there, forcing the fumble that Tremont Williams recovered. And that's the difference. The Jets came into this game leading the NFL in turnover margin, I believe, with a plus 10 turnover margin. Plus 10. And the Packers, they were somewhere in the middle of the NFL, but I think they came in minus one and now are plus two on the season. And this is a year after the Packers led the NFL in turnover margin. So that was, that right there was your, the reason, if you had to say one reason. That's probably it. I'm looking at comments here. Patrick Dupree, Packers need to pay that man, Tremont Williams. And I think you're looking at Tremont Williams, just like Aaron Rodgers a year ago, going to get his extension during the bye week when there's a little bit of time. He's got time to sit down, talk to his agent, time to sit down and sign that contract. So, I think that you're going to see that, especially following this week's performance. It's almost a given. The Packers will pay him. It's just a matter of time. They're going to make him stay healthy for one more week, though, I'm sure. As long as Tremont can stay healthy next week, the contract extension is coming. Hopefully he doesn't play tentative next week just because of that. But as Wisco Kid points out, the Packers offered Tremont Williams Al Harris type money. And I think you're going to see them exceeding that money. You know, with especially you're looking at Al Harris being on the downside of his career, and Tremont Williams, you know, hitting the zenith of his career, hitting his high point. His best years are right now and the next couple years after it. Jersey Pack fan saying, Packers need to keep the momentum going against Dallas. Do not let up. Keep it going. Yeah, next week is going to be so big. I mean, if the Packers can win next week, they're 6-3. You've got double the amount of wins as losses, and you get the much-needed rest that the Packers need so, so badly. Minneapolis Pack fan asks about Donald Driver's injury status, and I'll admit, I don't know. I know Donald Driver left the game. And that's got to be a little bit concerning. The Packers did not come out of this 100% healthy. You know, they lost Donald Driver. They lost Andrew Corliss. They lost Pat Lee, I think. All of those guys at least leaving the game at one point. And I don't know the severity of their injuries. And we'll find out at Mike McCarthy's press conference. Very shortly, we should be getting tweets about that, I would imagine, from the beat reporters covering that. And even Mike McCarthy probably isn't going to have a whole lot of definitive, you know, what's the status on these guys. That's going to take a while. But, yeah, I mean, you're looking at Donald Driver, Andrew Corliss, and Pat Lee. At least those are the ones coming to the top of my head at this game. And Patrick Dupree saying Driver's injury must be severe. If he's missing time, he's seriously hurt. Based upon Donald Driver's past history, you've got to assume that. You've got to think that, you know, this is a type of guy who does not miss games, does not miss playing time. You know, the Packers limited him all week in the hopes that he would be healthy for this game. Didn't turn out that way. I don't know if he re-aggravated an injury or he just is not, you know, ready to play yet. If you're Donald Driver, I mean, boy, if they lose Driver and Corliss now for any amount of time, that just adding to the litany of injuries by the Packers that they can hardly afford. And I see right now some of the comments coming in on the live blog. This one from Paige Pearson of Fox 11 News. Howard Green stepped up. Desmond Bishop too. That's a damn good run team and a heck of a job by our defense. Certainly there for the Packers. I don't know if Miss Pearson is the only one tweeting from the press conference. I would hope not. You know, I think Kareem Copeland is off this week for the Green Bay Press Gazette, taking a week off or vacation or probably mandatory leave, I would imagine, in the news industry. But hopefully we'll get some information here as time goes on. Illinois Pack fan says we'll have to sign Havener if we lose Corliss. You're probably right. If the Packers lose another tight end, then they'll probably definitely look at Spencer Havener. But I suppose, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. We do not know the extent of Andrew Corliss's injury here, so don't want to make you know, mountains out of molehills. And Jay says, what do you make of A-Rod limping? Big deal? I don't know whether it's a big deal or not. I mean, he didn't miss any time. And, you know, if you don't miss any time, it's hard to say. You know, it could just be a bruise, maybe a severe one. But We'll see as the reports rolled in here. By all means, folks, help me out. Call the show. The phone number is 646-797-2909. Give me some talking points here, folks, and help me out and help your show out. Trying to look at some of the other key statistics from today's game. The Packers are 2 of 14 in converting third downs today. Only 2 of 14, which really is becoming a unfortunate trend for the Packers after being so good in that category a season ago in third downs. You know, being among the best in the NFL, I don't know where they rank specifically, but among the best. And I know going into this week, heading into the New York Jets game, I believe they were 17th in the NFL in third down conversion percentage. And you got to think that's only going to go down now after a 2-for-14 performance. So the offense struggling, certainly, and you know, only looking worse after this week's game. What's amazing, I think, in a way, the Packers converted 13 first downs the entire game, but only 2 of them came on third downs. That seems to be an inordinate amount of first downs compared to what down they were converted on. You know, the defense did its job, though. The New York Jets go 7 of 17 on third downs. But I suppose the key statistic is that the Jets were 0 of 3 on fourth downs. You know, the first one coming with the fake punt early in the game, with the turnover on downs there. Then the other two coming late in the game in the fourth quarter, Charlie Peppra breaking up a late fourth down pass, and then the last-ditch effort with just seconds to go on the clock at the end, the Nick Collins breaking up the final Mark Sanchez pass along the sideline to end the game. Flickery asks, how much of the offensive struggles were due to the Jets' solid D? Seemed like a lot were drops, but drops would have been great catches. Maybe the wind also affecting the passing game a bit. You do have to tip your cap to a very good Jets defense. You know, I don't think anybody expected the Packers to, you know, put up 30 points today. You know, playing on the road against one of the best defenses in the NFL. You know, that's certainly unreasonable to think. But, you know, so you had to expect some offensive struggles today, or what they would get would come by in a pretty hard fashion. And it did. I mean, the Packers did get 3 field goals today. I mean, 3 drives ending up in scores, maybe not as many points as you wanted them to, but scores nonetheless. And there were some drops today. The drops that come to mind would have been the one to Andrew Corliss over the middle of the field before he left the game, obviously. And the one to James Jones along the sideline, that would have been a big game, you know. I think he had to dive for it a little bit, but it hit him right in the center of both hands, even though he had to dive. And just kind of continues the uneven play of James Jones. I don't know how else to categorize it with James Jones. He is just not the type of guy who's ever getting over the hump. And it seems to be like his negatives outweigh his positives. I certainly you know, a year from now, would I be sad if the Packers lost James Jones? I don't know how much he adds to the team, because it's things like drops or fumbles or not being on the same page as his quarterback. You know, I don't know if today those back shoulder throws, that one at least, was the fault of the receivers or the quarterback. But, you know, last week the receivers taking the blame for the back shoulder throws. It just seems like James Jones can't get over the hump. I don't know. I just think there could be an upgrade there. As Mr. Fastbucks points out, James Jones and Corliss could have taken some pressure off that defense, certainly. Had they hung on to the ball, they would have taken some pressure off the defense, kept the defense off the field, and that certainly would have helped. And James Jones, I think, you know, he comes up with zero receptions today, but he was targeted three times. And targets sometimes can be misleading, but still, coming up with a goose egg is nothing good. And Mr. Fastbucks, after that, saying Jordy going over the middle and hanging on to the ball was a nice surprise, and certainly, Jordy Nelson had a good game today. Have to be happy with the job Jordy Nelson did. And heck, I'm glad to see him on kickoff returns, even if he's not the deep person. You know, good just to see him contributing to the team on special teams in any fashion that he can. Taylor Poneal asking, what's up with Rodgers? He hasn't looked decent since Chicago. And have to agree with that as well. Not sure what to make of that. You know, again, you're looking at a very, very tough Jets defense. And I'm not sure how much you can put on the back of Aaron Rodgers, but, I mean, you're right. I mean, he's, ever since the Chicago game, he's not looked like the Pro Bowler we've become accustomed to that we saw last season. And earlier this season, everybody knows the potential's there, and you hope it'll come back. So there's a lot to look forward to in that regard. You know, momentum can be such an important thing in the NFL. I mean, I don't care how the Packers win here this week. You know, this week's win, the momentum can carry over into a huge offensive performance next week at home. It just has a way of happening in all sports. Winning breeds confidence, and confidence breeds success, I suppose. Mr. Fastbuck says, so Jennings went to Revis Island and got his butt kicked, but he brought home the candy. You know, Greg Jennings, you know, I think if I look at his statistics here, he was targeted 12 times today and only came up with 6 receptions. So only 50% of the passes intended for Greg Jennings were completed. Which shows, yes, he did have a rough go of it. But you're right, he comes home with the candy, and he made the most of the 6 receptions that he did get. Most of them coming over the middle of the field on slants. At least 4 of them I know of, if not 5, coming on mostly slant plays. And where the Jets seem to be a little bit vulnerable over the middle of the field. And that was good to see the Packers attack that area of the defense. And it would certainly have been a whole lot easier if they had Andrew Corliss. And if not Andrew Corliss, JerMichael Finley, where a big tight end can really expose a soft defense on the middle of the field. Taking a look at the comments on the live blog here. Kitna threw 4 interceptions today, Woody G says. At least that many next week. I guess I haven't had a chance to watch the Dallas Cowboys yet today. But certainly they are not the same team without Tony Romo at the quarterback position. Rose Dog says, great win today. Just think where this team would be right now without all the injuries. Credit Mike and the coaching staff for getting these backups in a position to get us wins. Yes, you know, I think Ted Thompson gets a lot of credit for building depth on this team. Mike McCarthy, it looks like, was taking some heat in the press conference for saying he needs to do a better job, saying we've got the players, and taking a little bit of heat. You know, you can argue with the play calling all you want, I suppose, but you know, the Packers did what they could and put the team in a position to win regardless. You know, the Packers go, and, you know, I think one of the key decisions this afternoon from a coaching standpoint was the Packers faced a 4th-and-1, I think it was late in the third quarter, and they chose to punt it instead of go for it. And you can make the argument that the defense was playing so well that maybe you should have gone with it on 4th-and-1 because the defense had been playing so well that they could have held them anyway. But I think the right move was to kick it, especially with the way Tim Maste was performing. And again, Tim Maste putting 5 punts inside the 20 on the day. 5 out of 8. Just fantastic. And, you know, most of them not even returned. I can't even remember how many were returned by the Jets. Looks like Jim Leonard had 1 return for 0 yards today. So that means Tim Maste's net was the same as his gross today. So 44-yard average on every single one of his punts, both gross and net. 5 of them inside the 20. Really, you know, very shortly here when we wrap up the show and I do the chips report, giving away the blue chips, red chips, cow chips, I think I'm looking at, you know, Tremont Williams and Tim Maste getting the blue chips for the game. I see we have Corey Benke joining us on the live blog. Corey at the game. Of course, this the big Cheesehead TV week in New York City. And I hope everybody who went to the game out there had a good time, had a good week, and certainly have to feel good about a win coming away from this game. You know, once again, going back to the challenges of Rex Ryan, you know, that's seems to be You know, Mike McCarthy challenges his call and gets it on the fake punt, which Mike McCarthy is now 3-for-3 in his last three challenges after, I believe, starting off the season 0-for-3. So he's really made up for it. Starts off the season, people are complaining about the challenges of Mike McCarthy. Goes 0-for-3, gets his next three, now sitting at 50% for the season. And the Jets go and blow all their challenges in the first half of the game, and then have no choice later on to make up for it. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
That's good, because I called the Cheesehead TV postgame show. This is Alex. How are you, Ryan?
Alex Delich of the Packers Lounge. I'm doing very well, and I assume you're doing the same.
No complaints, really. No complaints. I will admit, I'm surprised. I can't say that. And most people can go out of this thing that they're not, but they will. I'm happily surprised.
With the defense, I'm sure.
Just what a strange game for the defense to step up like that. Not that I ever thought that the Jets had a formidable offense at all, but, I mean, boy, they sure did it because the offense looked poor at best. But love it. I'll take a win anyway. Right now, I could care less. I'm worried that I'll wait about later in the week to worry about it.
So who do you think had good games for the Packers today? Who are your studs? I know you'll be, if you haven't already, you'll be doing your quick hits post, and what's going to be the highlights on there?
Well, I already got it out. You know, I thought you could have gone with the savvy pick of Williams or even Matt Stay, who had a heck of a game. But I went with Charlie Pepper. You know, here's a guy who we've all hated on for years, who stepped up and really made some key plays when we need him the most late in the game, avoiding penalties being one of them that no one's mentioning. Charlie Pepper got my MVP today. I think he's one of the guys that needed to step up, and he did, and it showed. And I think he's a big reason why we got out of this game like we did.
Yes, good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Charlie Pepper having a very good game. And you're right, too, about those penalties. The Packers only had three penalties today. And they didn't have that many last week either. So this is two games in a row. They've done pretty well in the penalty department. But I guess what's deserving special mention now that Charlie Pepper is starting to play pretty darn well, how does Atari Bigby fit into this team if and when he comes back?
Well, you know, the key word in your phrase there is when, and I'm one of the people on the fence of thinking, I don't know if he's ever going to come back. You know, I think they had to get him off the pup. They did it because they had to, but I don't see anything encouraging coming out of the baby camp. And if he never comes back, I wouldn't be surprised. So I don't know if you can use when Bigby comes back right now. If Bigby comes back, I think it's Pepper's job to lose. He keeps playing like he did today.
Yeah, I guess the thing in the back of my mind is, you know, I think it was Friday, Mike McCarthy said, you know, he was still, he ruled out Harris, but he wouldn't rule out Atari Bigby.
Like 0-for-5, right?
What's that?
I said, this time I can't hear you, so we're batting 0-for-5, which is perfect for me and Caribou calling.
I'm sorry you can't hear me, Alex. I'll let you go, and I'll try to address this on the line. So, thanks for calling, Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge. Please visit his dedicated blog here on Cheesehead TV at cheeseheadtv.com/lounge, and he's already, I know, got his quick hits post up, and maybe somebody can put a link to that on our live blog. But as I was saying here, one of the things I thought is, on Friday, Mike McCarthy ruled out Al Harris for the game, but did not rule out Atari Bigby at the time. And that just gets me thinking that Atari Bigby is close to returning. And now all of a sudden, if you change course, if you're Mike McCarthy, if you change course and you say, you put Atari Bigby on injured reserve, I mean, he's going to have to, you know, go back to this week and report. He's going to have to answer to reporters saying, you know, you back during the Jets game, you know, it looked like Atari Bigby could have possibly played. So, you know, we'll see how that all plays out. You know, I think it was Aaron Nagler who said he expects the guys on the PUP list to be out through next week as well, because if they don't play next week, then you got a bye week on top of that, and they get an extra time to get back up to speed, little extra time to recover, and that seems to make sense to me. If you're looking for a timeline of when you think these guys are going to come off the PUP, that's when I think it does happen, because it just gives them, you know, they're both coming off surgeries, certainly Al Harris's long before Atari Bigby's, but still Al Harris is also being more severe than Atari Bigby's. But I think that makes sense. You know, let's keep these guys, if you're the Packers, keep them off the playing field until you really need them, and that'll be for the stretch run once you come back in mid to late November. So I think that's what you're looking at. Longtime fan asks, so if Al isn't activated for Dallas, still have a week? Well, I guess you almost have to have a week, because there's no game after the Dallas game, and in just in terms of, you know, time. If I'm getting this correct, I'm not an expert on this, and, you know, I've looked up the rules of the PUP list, and it says something about 2 3-week windows. Saying about 3 weeks to practice, and then after those 3 weeks are done, then you have 3 additional weeks to make a decision on them. Either to elevate them to the 53-man roster or put them on injured reserve, ending their season. So I really think, you know, you have until it's week 12 to make a final decision on these guys, so you can wait, you know, even later if you need. That's the way I understand it. So I don't think that's the way it is. Jim, longtime fan, if I'm correct, it's very convoluted rules, but I think that's the way it is. 3 weeks to practice, 3 more weeks to make a decision, although you can elevate them any time within those 6 combined weeks, if I'm correct. Talking about depth on the team and how good a team Ted Thompson assembled, while that certainly is an in-depth topic, but, you know, a good point, and maybe that's, you know, the topic for Railbird Central one day, but... we can talk about it quickly, that's for sure. And I mean, you're seeing the depth of the Packers working out quite nicely. You know, Desmond Bishop really is being the key backup on the entire team, who's really stepped up his game, I believe, and exceeding the play of the man who was before him, Nick Barnett. So I really think that's been, you know, one of the nicest moves on the team, one of the nicest, whatever, the word escapes me, developments, there we go, on the team. And, But Charlie Peppera stepping up as well. I mean, we can go down the list of all the backups who are playing because of injury and see how well they've done. I mean, Charlie Peppera is another big one. On defense, C.J. Wilson doing a pretty nice job, given the fact that he's a 7th-round rookie. On offense, you've got Brandon Jackson in for Ryan Grant. You've basically got all the tight ends pitching in for the loss of Jermichael Finley. You've got Brian Bulaga stepping in for Mark Tauscher, and that's been a big one as well. Brian Bulaga seemed to be struggling a little bit early in the game today, but settled down after that. And that reminds me, how many sacks did the Packers give up today? It wasn't many, if I can just quick find that in my stats sheet here from ESPN, courtesy of ESPN. The New York Jets with just 2 sacks on the day. A respectable number if you're the Packers. You can live with that, that's for sure. But, you know, we're getting to an hour long here, folks, and I think I'm going to wrap it up here very shortly. Got from here in the Central Time Zone, I don't know where everybody else is, but it's trick-or-treating from 4 to 6 p.m., and going to be hearing the doorbell ringing pretty soon, and would be interrupting me anyway. But thanks for joining us today, folks, here on Cheesehead TV. Packers win 9-0. Defense pitching a shutout. Green Bay Packers now 5-3 on the season, and I have not yet seen what the other teams in the NFC North are doing. They came into the week tied for the division lead, and for all I know, they now have the lead or will by the end of the day. Some big games coming up tonight. I know, of course, the Vikings at Patriots tonight and Sunday Night Football. But again, folks, thanks for joining us here today. Big week coming up here as the Packers take on the Dallas Cowboys next week, and prepare to go into the bye week with a win as well. That's going to do it. Thanks to Jamie Jors, our live blog director today, and Alex Talich for all he did behind the scenes. I know he did a lot with the live blog as well today with Corey and Aaron personally at the game in New York. So, with that, see you later, everyone. Have a good rest of the weekend, and I think this one will go a long way. See you later.